Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is looking to cut a lot of money out of the Pentagon's budget, somewhere between 8 to 9% over the next 10 years. And that means some pretty important things in terms of the future defense of this country. Elizabeth Buemiller joins us, Pentagon correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
You know, one of the headlines that seems to be capturing everybody's attention is this idea that the goal is not the goal, but the overall effect of these cuts is that the United States will not be able to fight two ground wars at the same time. First of all, is that the case? And what does that exactly does that mean? Does that mean we wouldn't have been able to do Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well, we actually weren't able to do Iraq and Afghanistan. The Army before 9/11 was at about 480-some thousand. And to be able to fight those two wars at once, it had to increase to the current size of 570,000 troops. So in some ways, this is semantics, but in other ways, and in an important way, it's a budget reality. The Army is going to shrink under these cuts. They've already announced one downsizing to 520,000, but no one expects it to stop there. And Leon Panetta has said he's weighing more significant cuts to the size of the Army.
Well, Panetta has said before that severe budget cuts at the Pentagon could actually endanger national security. That's a dangerous road to take. So what is he saying about these cuts that he's designed here? What are the security implications?
Well, he is saying, first of all, the current round of cuts of the 8% that you spoke about, that which is amounts to about $450 billion over 10 years. That's about 8%, as you say, of the Pentagon's budget. That has been agreed to by the Pentagon and the White House. That was part of the debt the deal last summer that averted the U.S. defaulting on its debts. So he has agreed to those cuts, and we're going to be beginning to see exactly how the Pentagon plans to carry those out this month and early next month. So anything you're going to hear from Panetta, you're going to hear saying that we think we can do this. I assume going to say that by shrinking the Army, we can sustain this and we have the National Guard and the reserves. There's also going to be other cuts, probably to some weapons programs, probably to a lot of some retirement pay, perhaps to health benefits. There's a lot of places to cut.
However, we need to make a distinction here. These are the cuts, as you say, that he agreed to with the White House, and then there are the possibility of further cuts because of the disagreement in Congress, because they couldn't reach a compromise on budget cutting, which Leon Panetta has said those cuts would, he says, endanger our ability to defend
ourselves.
Right,
those are the cuts that he says would be ruinous and catastrophic. Those would be add up to close to $1 trillion over 10 years if Congress carries through on what is called a sequestration. Now, right now, we're at a standstill on that. The Pentagon is not in any way preparing for those cuts. Those will be hashed out over the course of the following year, whether or not those will actually happen. Right now, the Pentagon is only planning for these $450 billion. However, in our story I did with Tom Shanker, my colleague on the beat, we have a long list of potential cuts that have been prepared by various think tanks and groups around Washington. Some come from the Congressional Budget Office, some from Congress, some from the Pentagon, some proposals. We have a list of close to $1.5 trillion in potential cuts, and you can go online and, you know, pick your own and see how hard it is or easy it is to cut the Pentagon budget one, you know. And so there some groups do say that this $1 trillion would be difficult, but it could be manageable.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Buemiller, Pentagon correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. And I want to read back a comment that you printed in the article for The Times that you wrote with Tom Shanker. You quote a consultant to the Pentagon who says, if the current trends continues, we're going to turn the Department of Defense into a benefits company that occasionally kills a terrorist. He's talking about the incredibly generous retirement benefits, which are very expensive, but at the same time are very much supported, not just by veterans and their families, but by many people among the
right.
American public.
Cutting those would be extremely politically difficult. However, this would be a proposal that would grandfather in everybody who's in the military right now, and this would affect new entrants into the military. So right now, if you serve in the military for 20 years, you can retire after 20 years with 50% of your base pay, of your last 3 years of salary for life. It's extremely generous. There's various proposals that would either cut back at that 50% or put the military more on a 401k plan like the private sector.
And it looks like those benefits and salaries also are one of the taking the deepest cuts in Leon Panetta's new proposal. Once you get beyond that, how is he saving this money?
Well, actually, he hasn't. These are not proposals he's put out yet. I mean, these are proposals that have been put out by various groups around Washington. He has said he is eyeing cuts to benefits and to retirement. He has said but he's not said specifically what that would be. So we don't know the amounts yet. But what our exercise was to show that there were hundreds of billions of dollars if Congress had the political will to do it, and that's the big question, to start taking a whack at benefits for the military.
Well, Congress has the political will to do is
right,
a big question.
It has certainly not done that in the past.
All right. So, however, I want to be clear here before we go, Elizabeth, that
right.
this does not include the reduction of costs because of the end of the wars in Iraq
right.
and Afghanistan.
This is totally separate from that. The Pentagon-based budget every year is $533 billion. The cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan over the past year were about $170 billion. So we're excluding all of that. That's always a separate fund that's called the supplemental. That is not part of what we're talking about here. And of course, the cost of the wars is expected to go down because the war in Iraq is over, and over the next 3 or 4 years, the war in Afghanistan is expected to wind down.
And are you predicting there's going to be a great difficulty in getting any kind of budget cuts approved?
Well, I'm not in the business of predictions. I can certainly say with certainty that there will be a lot of fights over this.
I'm always trying to get the New York Times reporters to predict something. They never take the bite.
We never do, but we're not supposed to.
Elizabeth Buemiller, Pentagon correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. Her piece on the military cuts, along with Tom Shanker, appears in the Times. Elizabeth, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We want to get a military perspective now on the story we've just been discussing with Elizabeth Buemiller from the New York Times on up to $450 billion in budget cuts slated at the Pentagon. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta set to announce those cuts coming up shortly. The specifics will be up to Panetta, the White House, and Congress. Of course, joining us is Colonel Paul Hughes, retired U.S. Army colonel, currently chief of staff at the United States Institute for Peace. Colonel, good morning.
Good morning.
$450 billion over 10 years sounds like a gigantic number. It is but 8% of the Pentagon budget. But let's drill down on a couple of specifics. Things like cutting the nuclear arsenal, combat air capabilities, warships. What does all this – we're now talking about the war fighting. We'll talk about personnel in a minute. What do these types of cuts, do you think, potentially mean for the future of the military?
Well, I think that we have to back it up a bit and look at what the strategy is designed to do. As Secretary Panetta has pointed out, we don't intend to fight two sustained ground wars at once anymore, which has been the keystone of American strategic concepts since the early 60s. That will force us to make hard choices, and one of them might be increasing a reliance on a nuclear deterrent, which, in my view, is not a wise thing to do. The other thing that needs to be discussed are the other forms of American power that can be brought into play, especially the soft power, as it's currently called, that the Obama administration is trying to pursue. The idea of national security involves a lot of different actors than just DOD. But nonetheless, $450 billion over 10 years is a significant cut, and it will have far-reaching impact on how we intend to defend the country for the next 20 or 30 years.
Even as we're increasing soft power, let's say diplomacy with China, diplomacy in the Far East, maybe even with North Korea, which is a credible threat to the United States and to its allies. Mm-hmm. Let me give you one example that's in the article. One proposal that's clanging around Washington, as you know, Colonel, reducing the carrier fleet from 11 carriers currently to 10 carrier groups. You save about $7 billion doing that. Does that in a meaningful way change our ability to influence countries like China in the Pacific?
Well, I don't think that I hear about the carrier discussions all the time. I don't think that's a smart move in my own opinion. We are going to be focused in the Far East for the next 20 years. That is where our economic interests lie. That's where a lot of other security-related issues lie. And so we need to be thinking about how would we engage in combat in the Far East if we had to. I don't think America is thinking about going back to a ground war on the Asia continent again. We did that in Vietnam. Not a smart move. We have an obligation with Korea. I think that ought to be maintained. But there's going to be a greater reliance on American air and sea power than military manpower. Does that mean that we need to have the F-35? I don't think so.
All right, Colonel.
Not the quantities that are being discussed.
Colonel Paul Hughes, retired U.S. Army Colonel, Chief of Staff at the U.S. Institute of Peace, talking about military budget cuts. Colonel, thank you.
My pleasure.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.